This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
My dream for our family has always been they'd grow up, they'd get a good education, they'd be happily married, or they'd find someone they could be happy with, and that they would not think they were entitled, that they would work. That same fellow that I used to yell at to please pick up his room, to see him as president is truly amazing.
Barbara Bush died yesterday at the age of 92. And when I was looking at Facebook yesterday, there are so many people that I know that had some kind of connection to her. She must have had quite the Christmas card list for sure. And she knew people in northeastern Pennsylvania, like Dave Schwager, who's an attorney. Dave, when I saw your description of your meeting with Barbara Bush, I couldn't help but want you to tell this story to the people this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Sue?
Doing well. How does a high school kid end up driving Barbara Bush around in his 1976 Nova and lunching with her at LB's? How does this all transpire?
Well, you have to go back to the Iowa caucuses in 1980. If you remember, George Bush Sr., won that race very unexpectedly. And right afterwards, he was talking about, we're going to go to New Hampshire, we're going to beat Ronald Reagan, and then he used that term, we've got the big mo. He said we have momentum. And of course, that momentum slid terribly after Iowa. And so by the time it was getting ready to prep for the Pennsylvania primary in April, all of the Republican movers and shakers were all lined up with Ronald Reagan. He had slates of delegates in every congressional district in Pennsylvania. And as you'll recall, delegates in Pennsylvania run separate from the popular vote in the primaries, in the Republican primary. And so I was very involved in teenage Republican statewide activities at that point. I was vice chairman of the Pennsylvania Teenage Republicans, and so I was on the radar, and I had been in touch with the Bush campaign previously, and they really couldn't find anyone from the rank and file Luzerne County Republican hierarchy to chair the Luzerne County campaign for George Bush, because he was going to make essentially his last stand against Ronald Reagan in Pennsylvania. And so I was recruited to be the chair of the Luzerne County George Bush campaign. So they determined that they were going to come and spend a Saturday, I think it was, as I recall, here in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I took future President George Bush door to door on 2nd Avenue in Kingston, around the corner from my parents' house. And I can remember coming home from school, I think on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, and my mom was home, and there was a Secret Service agent in the den with her. And he said to me, you know, your mom was very lax in just letting me in, didn't ask me to show her my credentials. And of course, he did that signature flip of the Secret Service credentials. Then he wanted me to walk the route that I intended to take the Bushes on down 2nd Avenue. And it was back then, these visits were a big thing. They seem to be less of a big thing now. The national media was there. I think that door-to-door trip was actually on the evening news that night. And so we did that. Then that's the point where Barbara Bush and I split off from George Bush, and I took her in my 76 Nova First, we stopped at another volunteer's home to pick him up. It was in Green Acres. We picked him up. Then we went to Arby's in Edwardsville, where we were meeting Minnie McClellan from the Sunday Independent, who was interviewing Barbara Bush. And so we had that lovely lunch. I don't remember if she had the strawberry pie or not, but I think probably not. And then I drove her up to where George Bush and his folks had moved on to, up at, I think I remember it as the Ramada in Scranton, like right along Music Street. It's now something else, maybe the Sheraton Four Points now or something like that. But we met up with George Bush and the rest of the folks there. I did my duty. I dropped Barbara off, and that night we met up again at Naog Park with Joe McDade, Congressman Joe McDade, where George Bush did one of his signature town halls. They were called Meet George Bush, and so I was in the front row. I mean, it was just a day that I'll always remember. I have a week or two later, a handwritten note card from Barbara Bush came, to me that she had written on the campaign plane. And then just to make it extra special, George Bush wrote at the bottom of this lovely personal note, handwritten, "Same for me, best George Bush." And, it was just, and you mentioned Christmas cards at the beginning, and I was on their Christmas card list for years thereafter. And it just, the Christmas cards grew as the family grew. And it was just a remarkable occasion, and it's such a tremendous loss for our country and for the world that we've lost a truly classy, intelligent, funny, and wonderful woman who will be missed terribly by those of us who knew her.
What do you remember about the conversation that you had with her, or what the Sunday Independent wanted to know? What do you recall? I know it's a long time ago, and you were quite young.
Honestly, I'd be kidding you if I really told you that I remembered anything in particular. Just, I can tell you that I remember her as being charming, and I'm sure somewhere you could probably find that Sunday Independent interview, because it was published that following Sunday in April, I really don't remember anything in particular. I mean, I can make something up, but no, it was just a lovely day. I mean, we spent so much time together, and I would see her again in 1988 at Montage, when she was the vice president's wife, and George Bush was running for president against Michael Dukakis, and of course she remembered me, and we renewed acquaintances. And in later years, during those times when he was vice president, George Bush sent me a lovely pair of vice presidential cufflinks that I still have. And it was just a very nice relationship, and they really continue to show their appreciation for many years into the future.
Yeah, and I think that Barbara Bush, in her role as the First Lady of the United States, she had a great cause, which was literacy. And I think that, again, looking back, that was a very good pick for her, because it was not controversial, and it seemed that nobody could say no to literacy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think writing and reading were very special to the Bushes. Of course, you remember President Bush's book of love letters, et cetera, that was published a few years ago. And you can even see in my, little old David Schwager from Kingston, Pennsylvania, not even in his 20s yet, a teenager, to get these personalized notes. And I have a couple of them from them. It's just a remarkable thing. To this day, I have them framed in my office, and people often look at them and marvel at them, and it's really a wonderful thing. I left out a stop, actually.
Okay.
I'm remembering, before we went up to Scranton, I also took Barbara Bush to a daycare center sort of behind where the FNCB Bank and Abe's Hot Dogs is on Wyoming Avenue, maybe on Walnut Street, run by a woman who's now no longer with us, named Rita Casey. And she Barbara Bush interacted very nicely with Mrs. Casey and with the kids who were there. And then, of course, I left out one of the more important stops as well. I'm sorry. You know, it's only how many years ago? 38 years ago.
God,
so I apologize.
Yeah.
And then we also had a little rally for the Bushes that morning after the door to door before I took off with her to Elby's. It was in the backyard of Attorney James Harris on Reynolds Street in Kingston, and I can remember I don't remember seeing her earlier, but their daughter Dorothy Bush was there with them on this trip as well, and of course the National Press Corps. I think I remember, whoever the NBC correspondent was who was covering the Bush campaign was there, and we had a whole backyard of people. In fact, if you look on the comments on Facebook, there was at least one person, a colleague of mine from school, who actually was in that backyard that day and reminded me of that as well. So it was an action-packed day.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to imagine, David, because I think about most kids in high school as, of course, Democrats. And how did you even get tasked with this? I mean, what attracted you to the Republican Party as a high school student?
That's a really interesting story. It was in the 76 presidential election, and I went over to the Carter headquarters looking for a button. And it was in one of these sort of prefab modular things that were around the Wyoming Valley in those post-flood days. And the person in there, was not particularly friendly. Didn't have a button for me, didn't give me anything, just sent me on my way. I was just a 13-year-old kid. But then my mom took me to the Hotel Sterling, to the Ford headquarters, and there, and I'll remember this woman, all my days, Tilly Nitsche, I think that's how she pronounced her last name, from Wilkes-Barre. I think she was a doctor's wife. She ran that headquarters. She gave me a button. She gave me pamphlets. And then she did the most important thing anyone could do. She asked me, would you like to make phone calls for President Ford? And that's the beginning of the end. From there, Mark Holtzman, who you may remember, yep, who was 2 years ahead of me in high school, he and I together formed the Teenage Republican group. We met in the basement of his parents' house, which we had regularly about 30 kids, mostly from Wyoming Seminary, but also from other schools, from Valley West, from Myers. And we would meet on a monthly basis, and we were very involved in Republican politics. I do want to say, though, Sue, obviously the Republican Party was a little bit different back in those days, mm-hmm, and I think George Bush was perhaps the last of a long era of, shall we call them, more moderate Republicans that are kind of hard to find these days. So it was a little bit of a different era than we have today.
Indeed. Dave Schwager, thanks for sharing these memories, which I don't think everybody has. Now, you went to the Big Boy with her, right? Is that true?
I did. Yes, LB's Big Boy in Edwardsville.
Huh? Okay. And it was in Edwardsville.
Yeah.
Okay. And she didn't have the strawberry pie. She didn't have the strawberry pie.
Yeah, I don't think she had the strawberry pie. I think she was very conscious of her figure.
10-4.
She was always a very classy lady.
I think
okay.
Yeah, we'll see you later. And I thank you, Counselor, taking the time today. But a guy who knows important things about history is Bill Lewis. Mr. History!
Well, that was a nice thing to call me.
Mr. History.
Yeah. I the older I get, the more I feel that I'm becoming a witness to history as opposed to just writing and studying it.
Isn't it weird to transition from one thing to the other, where in the past maybe you've written about stuff like the Titanic and Abraham Lincoln and whatnot, but now, Bill Lewis, you are a witness to history because a couple of different times during your storied career, you hung out with Barbara Bush.
I was very fortunate to have met her on many different occasions. Actually, beginning back in 1983, I was on the Friends of the Ostra Library Board, and she came to Wilkes-Barre to dedicate the new Pollock Children's Wing at the Ostra Library, and of course had to read to the kids and give a talk and all that. But it was interesting. I was first elected to Republican State Committee to represent Luzerne County in 1984, and the following year, in 1985, then Vice President Bush had a reception at his home which the vice president's home is part of the Naval Observatory Complex in Washington. And they had a reception there for the Pennsylvania Republican State Committee. Had the chance to talk with her, and I thanked her for having come to Wilkes-Barre to dedicate the wing at the library. She goes, my new dog, Millie, is going to write a book, because her big cause, both as first lady and also when she was the vice president's wife, was to fight illiteracy. The Reading is Fundamental movement. And so she takes me by the arm and takes me outside behind the vice president's residence, and there in this dog coop is this very small puppy, Millie, who did eventually write a book, and all the money from that went to the Reading is Fundamental. What a lot of people don't realize is that was Mrs. Bush's cause, and she literally raised tens of millions of dollars to help fight illiteracy in the United States.
And she made that dog write a book.
Pretty brutal. I don't know how it typed it up. That was in the day and age before any kind of electronic thing, so I'm assuming the dog sat at a typewriter, but she did tell me that she was going to ghostwrite for the dog, so I guess the dog himself or herself was going to just share the story and she would prepare the manuscript. But, it was a great way to engage kids by animals, and typically we're all fascinated by the animals of our presidents and vice presidents. And it was just a terrific way to raise some very serious money and to get people engaged in reading. So she really did take that whole initiative very seriously. They were then back here in Wilkes-Barre that I know of in 1988 when at the old Hotel Sterling they came to cut the ribbon at the regional Bush headquarters. And she toured around and, again, took time, from what I remember that day, to once again go read books with kids. So she really did have quite the attention to her cause of fighting illiteracy in our country.
Well, I think that that's a cause that everybody can get behind and nobody has to fight about. So
exactly.
It's a good pick. Because before you got on the air, I talked about the Say No to Drugs thing, which, a lot of people mocked and ridiculed. But here's something. Who could disagree with learning how to read? Nobody. Now, Bill, I swear, although maybe I'm misremembering this, was she not also at Bishop Hoban in the 90s to read?
Have been. I know that she came in one more time, I think, for Head Start or for one of the child development programs. But she, even after being the first lady, she continued to stay involved and really promote the whole fight to get rid of illiteracy in the country. Interesting lady. Not only was she the wife of a president, and we know a mother of a president, but her maiden name was Pierce, and so her family was tied to Franklin Pierce, who had been a president back in the 1850s. So she had multiple ties to the White House through many, many, many generations in our nation's history. So just an amazing lady. I also had the pleasure in December of 89 of going to a Christmas reception at the White House. And as she greeted you in line, and she was just so warm, she said, "Thank you for coming to see your house." So she really made you feel at home wherever you were.
I think that she was just such a warm first lady. And Bill, when I was reading last night, people on Facebook, she also enjoys what a lot of people don't, and that is nonpartisan admiration. And I think that that's great. I wish we had more of that going on. We just don't.
Absolutely. It just amazes me how sides can't work together. We can have our beliefs. We can certainly, hold those beliefs and fight for those beliefs. But there are times that you have to work together a little bit. A lot of presidents in the past have said, "I want every opinion at the table." Because they want to hear the different opinions, because the more information, the more ideas, the more opinions you have, in the end, you develop a decision that is suitable for just about everybody. And you know, it just seems like we're caught in these huge partisan fights where nobody will ever sit down, get together, and say, okay, what's the best for our area, our state, our nation? And we just bicker back and forth. And it, in the end, it's the people of the country who suffer from that. So you hope that over time there can be a little more working together. And certainly she was the type of person who advocated. She would pick a cause that everybody could get behind.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people also enjoyed her dissertations about family life and child rearing and telling that audience. We had a clip on today about having to tell George W. to pick up his room, and now he's the president. And I think that she also had that nice wit about herself that she could put people at ease. And she just seemed, Bill, I'm sorry, when I was looking at Facebook yesterday, so many people here have recollections of her as though she was everybody's friend.
Well, and she was around the area quite often. And, you know, when you would see her at an event, before, after, during, whatever, she was just a friendly person and was very engaging. One of the funniest things, there was a lady by the name of Fran DeWitt from Wyoming County. She was the Republican chairman of Wyoming County for years. She was almost the spitting image of Barbara Bush. And I can remember the two of them at some event having their picture taken together, and Barbara Bush just blurting out, boy, I hope George does not get mixed up, because they look so much alike. And so, you know, it was actually pretty funny to hear her say that. But she just had the kind of demeanor, the kind of sense of humor that you automatically thought she was your good friend, but she just put people so at ease. You didn't really have that feeling that you were, you know, had to be in the presence of awe, you know?
That's great. Bill, thanks for joining us today. Anything else before we let you go?
No, working on some other historical projects right now and involving when presidents came here. And so more to come down the line.
Yeah, don't forget your friends when you get those projects done. Let us know so we could talk about them.
Terrific. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.